Hey, folks, I know there are lots of business owners who listen to this show. Maybe some of you never planned on running a business, but now here you are. One thing you've always got to keep in mind is how much you're spending on your operating costs. That's one of the first things we had to keep in mind with WTF. And with things costing more today than they did when we started, you want to keep your expenses down. To reduce costs and headaches, be smart and use NetSuite by Oracle, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth. Reduce IT costs, cut the costs of maintaining multiple systems, improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/WTF for more. That's NetSuite, NetSuite.com/WTF.
Lock the gates!
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fuck Nicks, what's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast. Welcome to it. It's been my podcast for a lot of years now. Oh, my God. My cosmic timing. At least it was right on the money once in my fucking life. I had a weird experience today in the locker room at the gym. Where's that going? I know, it's pretty good setup, right? That can go anywhere. But some guy, so I'm going over to the gym with my broken foot, of course, my broken foot in the boot that I got to wear around the clock, like a cast, for 2 weeks. And my biggest panic was about drifting off the exercise routine, primarily because, I don't know, it took a lifetime to establish. I know there's part of me that wants nothing to do with it. And I somehow have been victorious over that part of me. And I'm trying to just deal with this broken foot. And again, it's not cancer. I'm not losing a foot. I'm not losing a hand. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of things to be grateful for. It's not even necessarily as bad a broken foot could be. As bad as, it's not an ankle. It's a metatarsus. It's my fifth metatarsal. Down towards the heel, not up towards the toe. So it's a little delicate. Trying to avoid surgery here, people. But a lot goes through my mind. Maybe we don't need to talk about this right away. I would like to say, Bobby Lee is on the episode today. Bobby Lee, who I love. The last time he was on was 13 years ago. That's crazy. Episode 137. He's had a whole life since then. Lots of movies, lots of TV shows, including Reservation Dogs. He's got a couple of podcasts that do very well. Tiger Belly and Bad Friends with Andrew Santino, the devil. He's dead. Andrew Santino, sent by the devil, but in a good way. A lot of times, the devil sends some pretty pleasant people. I think Bert Kreischer's mad at me. I don't know. Did I say something about Bert Kreischer? I saw him last night. He seemed mad at me. I guess I could text him. You know, it's weird. I'm getting older, and sometimes, you know, I say shit again. For years, I was very careful about saying shit, and I might have said a little something. All it takes is a little something. You'll see. I'll talk to Bobby here. He's very sensitive. I'm just one of those people that if I say something that's got a barb to it, it's fucking, you know, it's going to be hard to remember. It's like a fucking fish hook getting it out. And you remember it. And that's why I can't do that stuff lightly. I still got to be careful. Sometimes it comes out of a place. And I always think it's pretty funny. And I think it's honest. But, you know, you got to pay the price. That's a lot of that stuff. All these guys that say you can't say anything anymore. I think if you apply that to saying it about people you know, then it makes sense as to why that anytime you say something, there's going to be consequences. If you know it's got a barb to it, if it's got a little, the possibility of a puncture wound, then someone's going to be like, ow, what the fuck? And, you know, there's degrees of that, but it doesn't go away easy, even after it heals. They'll years later. See that? That's from that thing you did. That thing you said. Consequences, I guess, is the point I'm trying to make. But anyway, Bobby and I, we go back as far as we go back, however far that is, when I got to L.A. But, you know, he's like the funny as fuck. He's one of the funniest fucks out there fucking being funny. And I see him all the time. And it's always sometimes, not always, a little weird because he thinks I'm thinking something, or he thinks I'm acting a certain way, or he thinks I'm looking at him weird. Sensitive guy. I'm a sensitive guy. But I got nothing but love for this guy. So I think that comes through with this conversation. It's pretty funny. We're pretty funny together. And he's a guy that I can bust some balls with a little bit. I don't know if you people are new to the show or what. I don't know when you came in. But sometimes there are people that I'll bust balls on a little bit. And it's usually not anybody. It's not anybody that I know can't take it. It's usually a rapport. It's usually someone who I assume will take a couple of good shots at me or kind of bring me down a little bit. Goes back and forth. That's the fun of it. It doesn't happen anywhere else in my life anymore but here. Sometimes at the Comedy Store. Sometimes I say things in the hallway. Me and Bobby had a good time. We're doing some of these repeat guests because we realized like 13 years was the last time I had him on the show. Now, this is not a regular round robin thing. I don't have a crew of people that I run through this thing every few months. I should, only because there are some people I like talking to, mostly comics. And some of these people that are doing a second time or a third time have not been on since they were children. Almost children. My show at the Castro Theater in San Francisco is this Saturday, and it's sold out. Next month, I'm in Portland, Maine at the State Theater on Thursday, March 7th. Medford, Massachusetts at the Chevalier Theater on Friday, March 8th. Providence, Rhode Island at the Strand Theater on Saturday, March 9th. Tarrytown, New York at the Tarrytown Music Hall on Sunday, March 10th. Atlanta, Georgia, I'm at the Buckhead Theater on Friday, March 22nd. Madison, Wisconsin at the Barrymore Theater on Wednesday, April 3rd. Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the Turner Ballroom on Thursday, April 4th. Chicago at the Vic Theater, Friday, April 5th. Minneapolis at the Pantages on Saturday, April 6th. Austin, Texas at the Paramount Theater on Thursday, April 18th as part of the Moon Tower Comedy Festival. And I've got shows coming up later in the year in Montclair, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Detroit, Charleston, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Durham, North Carolina, Vancouver, and Seattle. Go to WTFpod.com/tour for tickets. All right? You got it? For those of you following along, Hertz made right by me. Hertz refunded me the money for the 5 days they charged me for on a rental that I only had for one day. They came through. I don't know if they would have come through. I pestered them, but they did their investigation. They checked the tape, I guess. But either way, that resolved itself. I just want people to know that there's hope in the world. A lot of times we get into tussles with these big corporations and we have to relent. We have to buckle. We have to say to ourselves, it doesn't really fucking matter, does it? It's not that. Why am I? I'm not going to return it. What's the point? Whatever the case is. Why complain? Who am I even talking to? Did that email go anywhere? But Hertz, I pestered them because that was a big chunk of change and it was just ridiculous. But whatever. Worked out okay. There's hope in the world. There's fights to be fought with car rental agencies anyways. So the broken foot thing, I don't know. Look, the doc said, you know, keep the boot on all the time and you can walk on it. Just don't take the boot off. Fine. So I'm freaking out about the exercise, just about like adjusting my mindset, you know, and I'm going to keep blaming Hoka shoes. Be careful with those fucking Hokas. They're like wearing heels. There's like 4 fucking inches of foam under your back, under the heel for running. But I mean, I just, you know, I came down with weights and that heel just like I had a little twist to it and that thing went right under me. I'm not saying they're bad shoes. I'm just saying don't use them for just working out. Not the ones with those 2 to 3 inch fucking foam heels. All you got to do is come down on it a little bit wrong and boom. You're fucking wearing a boot. You're busting an ankle. But I knew it was coming, you guys. You know, you keep exercising throughout your life. When you get old, you're kind of just waiting for it, man. You're kind of just waiting for it. But here's the thing. So I think I'm going to be okay. And I know you're all just worried about this. I think I can do the bike. I can do the bike with the back on it. And I can work out my upper body. Bike will take care of my ass and my legs. And I'll work out on the upper body. And I can drive pretty good. Everything's all right. So, but it's weird what people say. You're walking around. Like, I realize I go to the gym. I never see anybody with broken foot. Why not? Am I the only one breaking their feet these days? But people at the gym, you know, everyone's got advice. I walk into the fucking locker room and some guy, I don't know, he goes, "Hey, Mark, oh, what happened?" I said, "I broke my foot." He's like, "Man, when it rains, it pours with you, huh? Everything. You know, and when something happens, it's all the way." And I'm like, "Who are you?" "Yeah, it just seems like you're one of those guys. Just when it rains, it pours." I'm like, "All right, take it easy. It happens." Bum me out, that guy. And then right away, another guy walks in. It's like, "Oh, I had to wear one of those for months. I had it cast up to my waist. And then they put it down to my knee. And then I finally got one of those. I felt like freedom." It's like, "You'll be all right. A few months, month and a half. I had to wear one another time." Just sharing war stories about wearing a boot. Man, and I just, like, I hope that other guy heard that. This is how you talk to somebody. You don't be like, "Geez, man, it's black cloud over your head. God, I'm surprised you can do anything. How do you have any confidence or hope at all? When it rains, it pours, man. Look at you, your broken foot. What's next? Shut the fuck up. Holy geez. Just talk to me about your experience with breaking something." Okay, so Bobby Lee, this is how you do it. This is where this goes. Wait, here, this one, the one with John Oliver. This is how comics go. This is how we do it. Bobby's in the upcoming movie Drugstore June, which comes out February 23rd. That's Esther Pavitsky's movie with Beverly D'Angelo. James Remar's in it. Bobby. Couple other comics. It's funny. I liked it. So this is me just, you know, coming right into it here. We're coming right into it with Bobby Lee.
I just farted. I'm so sorry, dude.
You did?
Yeah. I was so rude. I'm so sorry. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's so bad, dude. I'm so sorry.
What? Would you?
I'm sorry.
Would you eat? Maybe it won't come over here.
It will. I'm so sorry, dude. Maybe take a break for a second.
Wait.
Spray it.
I'll just spray this hand sanitizer.
Right, okay, good.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Does your gas frighten you?
It frightens me, yeah. Well, it's the kind of foods I eat, you know? I eat late.
But that's not a kind.
What do you mean?
That's a time.
Yeah, it's a time. It's not a kind, it's a time. I have a time food thing. Because I had like 4 a.m, I was so hungry, I was sleeping, I was like,
"Yeah,
I'm going to get McDonald's because I know they just opened the breakfast."
Yeah.
5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I got Egg McMuffin and stuff like that. And then I sleep right after I eat it.
Yeah.
So I think it just brews in my stomach.
Yeah.
While I'm sleeping. Anyway,
yeah.
I don't want to start that way.
You don't?
I don't want to start like that. I don't want to start that
way. It's too late.
But how do you open it? You don't have like a jingle jangle song or whatever?
Yeah, I don't do that now.
Oh. Oh, you don't do jingle jangle now?
No, jingle jangle, you drop it in later.
Oh, I didn't know
that. I'm sorry. Did I really teach you how to tell time?
Yeah, you did.
It's crazy.
Why?
What do you mean why? You're a grown person.
Yeah, but
it just never made sense to you.
Well, why would I need to learn it?
Oh, because you grew up without clocks.
Yeah, we always had digital.
Right.
Yeah, and then as a kid, I just didn't care what time it was.
Mm.
My parents were like, "Oh, it's 6 o'clock, come inside." You know, yeah. They didn't do that, you know?
No, I just found it was interesting. It was a very exciting moment on your podcast to teach you how to read a clock.
It was huge, and now I read it at like at train stations.
Oh yeah, you can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole other thing.
It's great. Thank you for that skill set. I really appreciate it. And I haven't been here in how long?
That's a good question.
4 years, maybe.
God, I wonder when that was. It feels like it was longer than 4 years.
So long ago, because it's the old house.
It's the old house. Yeah. So hold on, we can find that out. So I've been to your house, though, right?
You've been to my house, yeah.
Oh no, dude, you're here a long time ago, dude.
How long?
Oh boy. 2011?
No. There's no way.
2011, Bobby Lee.
Wow.
That's like 12, 13
I know,
years
dude.
Ago.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's insane. Well, could I say something, too?
Yeah, sure.
I feel like I like you more now.
Yeah.
I feel like we're more friends.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. I really grew to like you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not weird or...
Well, I think before there was like... And sometimes it... I think you liked me more, and also like you made assumptions about what I was thinking all the time.
Well, I don't know,
and
I don't know.
No, but I mean, even up to like a year ago, I'd come up to you and you'd be like, "What? What are you doing?"
No, because that's in a joking tone.
Yeah, no,
you know, we laugh about that.
Sure.
But I think 10 years ago,
I think I
was right about some things.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like what?
I don't want to start a fight with you, but I just want to say I think that maybe like 12. Years ago, you were in a different place in your life.
Probably, yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that you were in a, you were more moody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. So I think that's I was trying to like.
But I never not liked you.
I know, but in my mind, when you're moody, I'm like, oh, Mark, don't say hi.
Oh, I see.
Right,
so,
and then some of your intros were always like weird sometimes.
Yeah,
your intros were weird.
My intros?
Now they're great.
Oh, you mean on the show?
No, when we do stand up, like 14 years ago, your intros were fucking terrible.
Oh.
I mean, like, I swear to God, you said one time, he likes to give energy and dance like a clown because he wants you to like him.
Really?
Something like that.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. And I was in the back of the room going, this is going to be bad. And then you build a resentment, too. You're like, oh, this guy doesn't like me. And now you're, like, very respectful. And I think because you're in a different place, I think.
Well, okay. I think that's probably... Like, I don't know if whenever someone tells me I say something awful, I hear them say it to me and I'm like, I wouldn't have phrased it like that.
No, you phrase it differently, yeah. For sure.
but in your mind, he's a clown and he wants you to like him.
Yeah, he uses energy. I think you used energy, right? And his personality for, something like that.
So what I was doing was undercutting everything about your actual jokes.
Yeah, it doesn't even... It's not that, Mark. It's just like...
Okay, why would you do that, right?
What?
Why would I do that? That's a question.
Okay.
I believe you, and I apologize.
But you already apologized.
I know.
We're past that.
I know that, but I like hearing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any other good stories where I'm a dick?
No, because now I look at you and I forget about those times, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go, oh, Mark, I want to go say hi, and we talk, and I tell you my problems.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, we have a better relationship. I think we broke through into a better place when you kind of pulled your shit together for the second time or third time or whatever.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The last time,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I have given dickish intros.
You have?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't think I know that I'm doing it. Like, I think, depending on how my set went... And how cranky I am at the end of it.
Yeah.
But like Dove Davidoff will never.
I know.
Never talk to me.
Really. I heard about that.
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Yeah. And on top of that, I was using the R word. I guess it was before.
But what did you say? Do you remember?
I used to call him the thinking man's retard.
But he is.
I know. It's a perfect description.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was the bit he was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He. Yeah. It,
but
because I love him, so I want to like, I don't want to. Are you saying that he's on stage isn't who he really is?
Yes.
Yes. I guess I get.
Yeah. I mean, and he's been doing that forever. Just sort of like, he's like taking his jacket off half the time.
But don't you think that's a case for all of us a little or no?
No, of course. I mean, I'm not like, again. It's hard for me when I see someone doing something so abstract to their real personality.
Yeah.
I know it's a bit, but I mean, that's the bit he's doing is how I described it. I mean, I think you do a bit, but you're pretty much yourself. You just like, amplified.
Amplified, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, you do an energy thing in the clowning.
You fucking asshole. I sort of fucking got it. It just brought me back, man. Yeah, yeah. You know, it hurts. But it doesn't. I'm fine. I'm over it. You know what I mean?
I'm kidding.
It's so fun.
I'm kidding.
It's so fun. But yeah, no. You're right. I mean, but let me see if I fight. You know what you do? That's so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I think of Marc Maron, I go, oh, he's confident. He knows who he is.
Yeah.
And all that. But you still have little paranoias. And
Totally. That's why we get insane. Along. I know you think that way every time you say that about me. It's like, what are you talking about? You're Marc Maron. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Because I know, because I see you think. Like, you'll see somebody on stage and go, I don't like following this guy.
Yeah.
You know, the audience is going to like, you know, and it's like, I'm thinking to myself, you're fucking Marc Maron. What the fuck are you talking about?
But don't you feel those things?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
But then I see you do it, I go, oh, I see that in myself.
Yeah.
And I don't like it.
Yeah, it never goes away.
I know, but do you like it?
That part of me?
Yeah, it's
no, it drives me nuts, dude.
It doesn't make any sense.
It just drives me nuts. No, but does it not make sense? I mean, I know when I'm going to have to struggle, and I don't know that I feel like it. You know, there's sometimes I can follow somebody and it's a nice even keel.
Or let me ask you, who do you, I can tell you mine. Who do you not like following?
Sebastian in the main room can be tricky.
Tricky, yeah.
But
that's, can I tell you why?
It's because it's a whole different time zone.
That's not why.
Why?
Well, don't get angry.
I'm not angry.
I have my own point of view. I'm never going to get angry.
Again.
I think this is the theory on Sebastian.
Yeah.
A lot of his audience, like I followed him in the improv.
Yeah.
And when I went up on stage,
yeah.
I looked in the audience. I go, oh, this audience is completely different.
Yeah.
It's older women.
Suburban-y. Yeah.
And then I go, what the fuck? You know, and I say, you know what I mean? I go, and I poke my penis.
Yeah.
They're horror on their faces. So I think it's his audience that comes in. Anyway, so Sebastian, who else?
Well, no, I noticed that the other night. I played the Ice House.
Oh, my God, why?
I don't know why. Because, you know, I never do it. Here, I'll tell you why, because it's crazy, and I think you would appreciate it. For some reason, you know, like, here's the deal. The other night I was watching TV during the Golden Globes, and I saw Robert Downey Jr., on some dumb medicine commercial. And I'm like, how much could that fucking guy need? And it dawned on me that no matter how much you respect somebody for how long, like, you know, if they're up there and you're like, that guy's the real deal, eventually they will get old and do anything for money. And it's kind of disheartening.
Yeah.
But the point I'm making is that guy, Ciratella, who I never work for, I never do those shows, but he's like, you want to do the new Ice House? I'm like, will you give me cash?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll give you cash. I'm like, all right. And it was just about... I don't know. It's not even that I need it that much.
Yeah.
But that's why I did it. But the thing that we're talking about, like, I had to follow Neilan and I had to follow Sebastian. And they're both pretty difficult because they're very dug in. You know, like, whatever I do, it's pretty really me.
Yeah.
And those guys are really not them.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like, it's an act. Yeah. For some reason, I never see what I do as an act.
Mm.
And it fucks my head up. Okay, but I don't really want to follow Burr ever.
Yeah.
Because
that's when I heard it.
Oh,
the other night, yeah.
And I don't, and you know, he usually won't bump me, you know, but the rest I can manage, you know, really. It's just because they get it to such a pitch sometimes, and because they're such big stars, you know, the expectation is different, and I know I'm going to have to start at ground zero. And half my set might go into rebuilding an audience around what I do. That's all.
Yeah.
You know.
I understand.
Yeah. It's not a total matter of lack of confidence. It's just sort of like, I want this to be easier tonight.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't mind if an audience sucks.
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't done to them before me.
Right.
But when
I see you... You stroke your head sometimes, and you're kind of like pacing.
Yeah,
it just I just relate to it, and I go, maybe it'll just never go away for me either. Then
it's exhausting, dude. No,
I'm just
having a gasp on my own time.
Yeah,
but everything's good with you, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like,
what do you mean?
Well, we talk sometimes.
I know, but what is it? What do you mean? Go spill it.
Well, you're very excited. Like, since I last talked to you, you've done, you know, amazingly well with the podcast, several of them.
Yes.
Changed your whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Every time I see you, you're like, I can't believe it.
Yeah, and thank you starting the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a pioneer. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing, right?
It's been up and down. It's been painful. It's been great. It's been bad. It's been all around. That's life.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's been bad and good. And, you know, but at the end of the day, I just, you know, I'm 52. Mm. I could die at any moment.
Really?
And I can't, like what you said, like the things that go through our mind at the club, I got to do less of it because it's like, it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Less of that kind of thinking.
Any of that kind of thing,
but not less comedy.
No, I'm always going to go up. I'm always going to pod, and if they want me to act, I'll do that. But it's like, it's, you know, those things used to, it was like a drug to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It used to fill something inside me. I would get dopamine hits.
Yeah. From the laughs.
But just not just laughs, or getting jobs and success and all that stuff. Yeah. And I realized that none of that is going to fix me. So I've been really kind of just pouring my energy into other things, you know?
Like what?
Like AA and stuff.
And that's working?
Yeah.
Maybe I got to do that. What, are you doing service?
I started my own meeting. I keep inviting you. You never show up.
It's Wednesday at noon. I'm trying to come.
I don't know.
I haven't been going to meetings.
But that alone has done something a little different for my life.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because it started off with just a few people, but then now, you know, it's a place where I can, you know, there are guys that are at our level or a little below that, you know what I mean? They just feel weird about 12 steps. They've never been.
Sure.
And so, you know, I just go up to them and I go, I have this kind of, not a private, but like a smaller meeting. You're going to know the people.
Yeah.
And I think just try to come, and they do come.
I should go. It'd probably be helpful to me and others.
But it's just not that. It's just like, I think just getting out of myself is like, what do I mean?
It is.
I don't know. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, look, dude, I just quit nicotine a week ago.
Yeah.
And I'm losing my fucking mind.
Yeah.
I'm like a fucking resentment machine.
Yeah.
I'm like old style.
Yeah.
Old style. Like, if I don't keep my focus, someone's going to go down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm going to say something shitty.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something shitty. I'm going to eat some shitty stuff. But I do feel better when I do service in a way. But I can rationalize anything. Like, right now I'm doing service. I'm getting out of myself talking to you.
Very good. You feel good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking to another alcoholic.
Yeah.
And this is what it's built on.
Yeah. I mean, but there are times I don't need to do. There are weeks where I'm like not, you know, me calling my sponsor involved.
Yeah.
Right, but it's like, and I think I could stay. Well, I'll have 2 years again, two weeks from now.
It's pretty fresh.
It's pretty fresh.
Yeah,
but I just know because I've had 12 years. I've had 17 years of sobriety
before the 12.
So I had 12 years of sobriety.
Yeah.
So I got sober when I was from 17 to like 28.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I had 17 years after that. I got a relapse. The 17 years.
Yeah.
Then I had a year, and then now I have 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, but I know, I just know that lack of meetings and detaching is the thing that's going to spiral me down.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So much weed around. It's fucking crazy.
That's what, dude. I mean, once there was four weed shops down the street, once they started opening up by my house, I just knew I was going to relapse.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, it's great. It's fantastic.
It's the only thing chipping away at me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not feeling craving.
Yeah.
But, there's that part of you that's sort of like, it's legal.
Yeah.
And, but I know it'll completely make me into, like, this detached, kind of haunted, paranoid person.
What happened to me, Mark?
Because that's what you relapsed on.
Yeah. What happened to me was, I remember I was shooting Magnum PI, in Hawaii. So two and a half years ago, I was shooting Magnum. I was going to relapse. I knew I was going to relapse. I told everyone I was.
Yeah.
In fact, I went to a meeting, a men's meeting.
In Hawaii?
No.
Here?
In LA.
Yeah.
And a speaker, where there was an audience at a church, and I announced to the meeting, 3 days from now, I'm relapsing.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it here in front of 40 men.
Yeah.
Right? Because I want to see if... And everyone came up to me after me like, don't do it, this and that. But I had already decided.
Yeah.
So I remember like taking a bunch of gummies and getting on the plane to go to Hawaii. And yeah. I took it and I laughed through the whole flight. It was one of the greatest human experiences. You know what I mean? And yeah. then that week in Hawaii was the greatest week of my life.
Yeah.
I laughing down the street. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Watching YouTube. It was so great.
Yeah.
3 months later.
Yeah.
Smoking 24 hours a day and not being able to get high.
Yeah. Oh.
Right? And I couldn't eat. Sleep, and I was paranoid, and I had suicidal thoughts. It was fucking terrible.
From the weed. You're smoking strong weed?
Yeah, because you know what I read somewhere.
Yeah.
They said that people would, because I had a huge trauma growing up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So sometimes when
we
you get-
We talked about that last time.
As an adult, yeah. when you smoke weed,
yeah.
it has the adverse effects.
Of re-triggering it?
No. What happens is that instead of like getting- hungry
yeah.
and sleepy.
Yeah.
You get paranoid.
Yeah.
I couldn't eat for weeks, days, I mean.
Yeah.
I was losing weight
yeah.
and I couldn't sleep. It had the adverse effect.
No shit.
Yeah, yeah. You know how sometimes I'm on Ritalin. If somebody that doesn't have ADHD
yeah.
takes Ritalin, they're like hyper.
Yeah.
But when I take it, I'm mellow.
Yeah.
I think it's that same kind of realm of
Well, I know that I know how that happens. I have memories in my life where drugs stop working, and it's the worst.
Yeah,
because it just happened with nicotine. Like I saw you the other day. You say you want me a Coke pouch, and I was like, I want it so bad, but I just stopped because it got to that point where I was doing it all the time.
Uh-huh.
I was going to sleep with that shit in my mouth, and then I just started to feel like shit, and my stomach was fucked up, and I'm still doing it, and I'm like. Dude, whatever's going on in your body is superseding the good effects of this. So either man up and get on real medicine or just fucking go cold turkey and fucking deal.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with taking like Zen, whatever those
powders? No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just like I get a buzz from it though.
Yeah, so fine.
No. It's not even a problem, but I wasn't getting the buzz as much. I was just getting nauseous. Uh-huh. It was upsetting my stomach.
Okay.
I started to think I had pancreatic cancer. I decided that I had a stomach bug, and I thought, this is pancreatic cancer.
Yeah.
And then, who knows? I don't think I do. I went and got blood tests yesterday.
Yeah.
I've been off the fucking shit for a week, and I feel all right. I want nothing more than to have one in my mouth right now.
Yeah. All right. I mean, yeah.
I know the withdrawal thing.
Wait, so how many days has it been?
A week.
Yeah.
First, I did on the first. It's all right. But what am I supposed to do? I got off the coffee, too. I'm drinking tea. And then your whole life is just sort of like, this isn't what I want.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah, buddy.
I think when I look at you,
yeah.
I know we're different on stage. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
We just have different approaches when
yeah.
it comes to comedy and stuff. But
yeah.
in terms of people, I think I relate to you more and more as I get older.
Yeah.
And I look at you and I go, because are we going to die alone?
I don't know. Doesn't everybody?
I know, but I mean, what I'm saying is that without a significant other, you look at movies like Dr. Zhivago or
sure.
One of my favorite movies is Paris, Texas.
I just watched it again. Are you on Saturday? They're showing it at the Egyptian.
Oh, wow. And
you get
a heartache.
Of him driving off?
Him just, the love, his love loss, him going into the desert and wandering around the desert.
But you know why?
Yeah.
Because she set him on fire.
I know. I know. But right, at the right. deep, but that, I know. That yeah. would, that would, yeah,
that,
but
that
deep
might,
down,
that,
it's like
yeah,
love
yeah,
loss,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
So it's like, but I, what I'm saying is that, and I'm going to honestly say yeah. this.
Go ahead.
I don't know. Since I was in my early 20s, I don't know. I mean, I loved Kalila, my ex,
yeah.
a lot, right? Yeah. And maybe I was in love with her at some point, but it's like, I feel like, and she's a great, but I don't know what else to say.
Yeah.
Because people are so harsh with her on the internet.
Yeah.
And I just want to say to people, she's my best friend. I trust her implicitly, and I love her so much. She's a good woman.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, yeah, I don't know, because I've been dating and stuff, and I don't know if I'm going to fall in love again, dude, ever. Yeah. What?
I know, I'm relating.
What's that noise?
It's me relating.
Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing somebody, I've been seeing her a long time, and I love her, and we're getting along great, but who the hell knows? I can't commit to something. I don't want to get married again. I've been married twice.
Twice?
I've been married twice.
Mishnah and somebody before that?
No, yes, Kim.
Oh, I don't know.
And, you know, I'm just like, it scares me because, like, I'm too fucking codependent because eventually I just, so much goes unsaid and then I'm locked in and I'm just trying to make their life better. And you know, out of like fear, sometimes guilt, sometimes just wanting them to succeed and stuff. Mm. And then I just start to resent them and it's a fucking nightmare. I don't like Lynn, she died. I think we had a shot at it. You know, I think that, you know, in terms of, I did finally surrender to loving her. And then that just got taken away from me, dude. And, you know, it got taken away from a lot of people. But, you know, I don't know what happens after that. And I still think, I don't know if I'm ever going to be not fucked up about love.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry for even bringing it up, man.
Oh, no, it's all right. I mean, you knew her. She was great.
I loved her so much.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, because, you know, she directed me in some things.
Yeah.
And she's like, honestly, she was like so. Usually, when I see directors and stuff, I'm just like, I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah.
But she was so clear with her notes. And
yeah.
Stuff, and I just, and you can tell. Honestly, dude, you guys looked
correct.
Correct.
I know.
That's the. I think it, you know. You Kills guys me. Looked perfect. Like yeah. like. Oh yeah, you look at Lynn, you go, oh yeah, that makes like
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just honestly, when all that went down, I just don't know how. Number one, you stay sober.
Yeah.
And I just don't know how you. It's just traumatic. I mean, the trauma.
Oh God, dude. I don't know where. I don't know what I do with it on a day-to-day basis. To tell you the truth, you know, because
I mean, do you do EMDR and like?
I did it.
Okay, good.
I did some EMDR.
Yeah.
I certainly, you know, like you guys, everyone showed up for me, you know, because it was COVID. I wasn't going to sit here and drink. I didn't even think to drink.
Mm.
Because there's one fucking thing about drugs and alcohol, like once you get the hang of being sober, is that you know it's not going to help.
Yeah.
Like if there's one thing you know from spending any time in AA ever, is that it's not going to help. If you forget that or you choose against it, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you know all this is going to do is lead to more of this.
Yeah.
But to speak to having somebody you love and you connect that way so deeply and kind of let go of yourself a little bit, open up a little bit, and then that goes away. It becomes difficult to see because even if you're dating, you know, there's part of you that's sort of like, what am I even looking for? Like, I don't think there's going to be something better. You know what I mean? You kind of know what's going on. So you're in this world of sort of like, all right, I'll try that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I don't think we should close the door on it. And I think like right now, even talking about it, like my relationship is fine, but I've also surrendered to the idea that—
Oh, you're in a relationship now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
You know,
kid. I love her, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is like, you know, I don't know what to expect anymore. And I'm not saying that I was a totally different person with Lynn, but like it's jarring, obviously, that she died in that, like it all made sense in the world, on paper, emotionally. You know, so it was sort of like I had that moment where I'm like, it worked out. It fucking worked out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'll tell you why I think it was good is because, you know, usually like if I'm dating somebody, I don't want to bring them to the store.
Right.
Because that's where my family is.
Yeah.
And my friends, my place of work.
Yeah, yeah.
And she was always there and you felt comfortable about it. That's how I knew it was like, oh, she's a part of the group. And also she knows all of us too, not just because of you, because of other work.
Sure.
Right? So she felt like she was a part of the universe.
Of the comedy business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The ecosystem of it.
Yeah.
And then when I'm sorry, I said, I don't know, man.
It's all right.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, all right. It's all right. I mean,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Well, that's what this is. What
life, the fuck is that?
That's a piece of squash.
And you're gonna eat that?
Well, I just brought it in here today. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Now.
It looks like it's moldy or something. Oh, no, it's roasted.
Yeah, roasted. It's got spices on it.
Oh, I know this one.
Do you like kombucha squash?
No, I don't want to eat that. No.
No, I don't want you to eat it, but you don't like it.
No, I would never eat that. No.
Really?
It looks like pog pog to me.
Pog pog.
Yeah.
What's that?
You don't know pog pog?
What is it?
What do you mean?
I don't know what it is. Pog pog.
It's a type of dish
from
the Philippines.
Oh,
what they do is they and I'm not making fun of
why
them.
Am I the asshole here? Like, has everyone heard of pog pog? Like,
I just assume that you know what pog pog is.
I don't know what pog pog.
Do you know what balut is?
No.
You don't know balut?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm
I'll tell you what both things are.
How do you know what they are?
Because my ex-girlfriend Kalila. Okay. No, let me finish.
Yeah.
Am I getting too emotional?
No.
So let me just say something. Yeah. My ex-girlfriend Kalila is Filipino, so we would go to Philippines all the time. Oh. So I know what these things are.
Okay, okay.
So balut number one is it's a duck egg.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And basically maybe a month or a couple weeks before it hatches, then they boil it.
Right.
And then they...
So there's a bird in there.
There's a bird in there with fur and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And eyeballs. It's very good.
Okay.
But pogbog is... And I'm not making fun of the Filipinos. I love Filipinos so much.
I don't think you're making fun of them.
I know, but it's a...
You're about to?
No, not making fun of them. It's just a... It's a... What they do is they go around to dumpsters and trash, and they find food.
Mm.
And then they kind of, I think they pan it a little bit like it's gold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they take old food, seafood, meat, vegetables.
Rotten or not rotten?
It could be.
Oh, okay.
Right? And then they just deep fry it, and then they eat it.
Huh. And that's like a delicacy or just something?
No, it's because, it's impoverished areas.
No, I understand. That makes sense to me, but you're talking about it like it's like, oh, it's a national dish. Everybody loves it. You can get it in a restaurant here.
No.
There's a pogpog restaurant down on Melrose.
Is that what I?
No.
Yeah.
That's what I was reading.
Yeah, no, I mean.
You're saying that looks like garbage.
Yeah.
Okay.
I should have just said that. I mean, it just looked like it's been there for like a month.
No.
All right. That's fine. I'm sorry. My bad.
When are you getting your car fixed?
Probably never.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I don't care.
No, I know you don't care, but it's like one of those. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, people just go, I don't care.
But it's so funny. Like, you had that car like 10 minutes.
I know. I was on Laurel. Some guy just smashed and then just drove away.
It's a nice car, too. Like, nice paint job. What is that paint job? Matte black?
Yeah, matte black.
It's nice.
Yeah. And it looked pretty cool.
What kind of car was it?
I still have it.
I know.
It's an Audi.
Yeah, nice car.
I still have it. But I don't care about like. I'm not talking about white people.
You can talk about white people.
Can I talk about white people?
Sure. If you could probably maybe put Jew in there too, like white Jews.
I don't put Jews in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
White people.
I don't think it's a white thing. I think it's just like some people. I just want to say that some people really care. Like I had a friend years ago had someone keyed his car.
Oh,
it just consumed him, and I'm just like, who cares?
Well, that's why I don't buy expensive cars.
Yeah,
because I'll fuck up a car almost immediately. I bought a Camry, hybrid, and 3 days after I bought it, I fucked the whole door up, and I didn't get it fixed.
Uh-huh.
And it was just sort of a reminder that see what happens when you get something new and nice. Just have this be here for that.
Yeah.
Right. And this car. The one I have now, it's a top line Toyota, but it's not like fucking fancy. But I've, for some reason, with this one in particular, I'm like, this, I think this car looks cool. Yeah. I don't know why. It's not an Audi. It's not, it got fucked up because the gardener across the street backed into it. And we backed out at the same time.
Yeah.
And he knocked the fucking bumper. And it didn't look like a big deal. And I wanted to get a little body work on it. So I let him off the hook. I'm like, he doesn't need this stress. I don't want to call his insurance.
Oh, see, that's so cool.
Yeah. $5,000.
Really? Do you regret not saying something?
No, but
no,
it was
the money.
It was a little more than I anticipated. It was like $2,000, $3,000.
Yeah, but you know what? You're putting this. You're like more like me. You're putting your money into the house.
Yeah. I mean, I don't do much with money.
Yeah,
I don't. I don't buy I bought that hat.
Yeah, but that hat was crazy.
I know.
It's crazy, that hat.
It's great, though. It's a great hat. It's great.
But I wear hats like that.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
I don't think I would ever do it.
You would not do that?
No. I would not do it.
Huh. Like, when people see that hat, they're like, what the fuck is that hat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it looks like a nice thing.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't think it's... I mean, maybe you're right. I've never worn it. Like, when I see it on your head.
But yeah, it's not the kind of money. Yeah. We don't spend money
loud,
like
am
that.
Am I too loud?
Sometimes.
I love
but
that.
We don't spend money like that.
Panic.
Like, people who have stupid money, they have to shop at those places because they don't even think, they want to shop at there because they want people to know that money is garbage.
Yeah.
It means nothing to them. See, like me, I buy that hat and I'm going to talk about it with you and other people in a secret way for the rest of my life. And that hat is like, it's at the bottom of a hamper in a rich person's house.
Yeah,
they forgot they even had it.
And you wear it all the time, so that's cool. But are you a watch guy too?
No, Dean did this.
Dean Del Rey.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, huh?
Well, he's just like, I got a guy.
Yeah.
And then you're all of a sudden spending $1,000, $10,000 at his guy.
I know, you said that to me.
Yeah.
Hey, he, one time he goes, hey, you got to come down here right now. I go, where? It was some store in Beverly, on La Brea.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now. I go, why? They're running out of this jacket. It'll look perfect on you. And I don't know what it was. I was just driving to La Brea, and I parked, and it was like $750. It's $750. And I bought it. I've not worn it once.
Ironheart was the store, right?
No, I've done that. He's done that with me. No, this was a Montclair jacket, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But it was just like, when he's like adamant about fashion, you know what I mean?
Well, it's a very specific thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And now, like, you know, he keeps buying it, but his belly's sticking out. So it's got... He keeps buying these little teeny jackets. Yeah, yeah. He opens his act now with it. He just walks on stage. He goes, I know this jacket.
Yeah.
I'm one sandwich away from not being able to zip it up.
Yeah, but he's a great guy.
Yeah, he got me these shoes.
Oh, those are dope.
That's the bootmaker, Brian the bootmaker.
Yeah, yeah. You have like a, can I say something?
Sure.
You have a specific style that it'll never go out of style. Your style.
Took a while.
No, what do you mean?
Took a while to find it.
Really?
Well, I guess not. I before it was more plaid shirts, but now we're in solids.
Yeah. But I mean, even the plaid still will never go out of style.
Right, right,
but what
I'm
saying is that you have a specific thing. I think I've picked mine too.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like.
You can wear anything. You can wear anything. I cannot.
That's like, not true.
No?
Why would you say something like that? What does that mean?
Because sometimes you wear stuff and I'm like, I could never wear that.
I can't wear it either, but I still do.
No, that's what I mean, but I like the way it looks on
and
you.
And people make fun of me about it. I don't care.
I know, but I'm not making fun of you.
It's like
I'm
a peacock thing.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like orange pants are bright.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it. You're just too afraid.
I guess that's true. Like, yeah, yeah. I had Lou Adler in here. He's like in his 90s. And he was wearing, like, he looked like he bought all his clothes at the place I got that hat.
Oh, wow.
And he looked real comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like one of those cool 90-year-old guys.
Right, 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 right.
But it's a whole thing. You can't just do one thing. Like, you can't just, you know, you can, you do the whole thing. You got the Crocs on.
Yeah.
And then everything else comes up from that.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of makes sense.
Well, you do the same thing, too.
Yeah, but with this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like,
we could. We landed on something. Do you know what I mean?
I'm just trying to give you.
No, I appreciate it.
You keep fucking compliment.
I'm very aware,
clothes, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that you noticed.
Yeah. Well, also, you and I have similar musical tastes, I think.
We do?
I think so.
Like what? I mean, I'm pretty broad.
I'm pretty broad, too. Yeah, but, yeah. I mean, okay, I'll throw out an album.
Yes.
Have you ever listened to the Velvet Underground's third album?
Yeah.
The Grey album.
Sure.
Opens with Candy Says.
Yeah, over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of them.
That whole album.
Yeah.
With Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
What Goes On.
What Goes On is one of my favorite songs in the world.
The dueling guitars in the middle of What Goes On.
I play that on stage all the time.
You do?
When I do music, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's,
I love.
It's the best record ever.
I can throw you an album but you don't know about.
What?
So John Cale.
Yeah.
You like a solo?
Yeah.
Paris 1919?
Totally.
Oh, my God. See?
I have a reissue and I have an OG.
Paris 1919.
Yeah. I've got almost all the... I've got a lot of the John Cale records.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Hanky Panky Know How.
Yeah.
Hanky Panky Know How. I know, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one called Fear. It's very good.
I don't know that one.
There's a... And then he does some other stuff. He produced all those Nico records.
Wow.
A couple Nico records.
Yeah.
And then there's like Brian Eno. I'm a big Brian Eno guy.
Oh, huge Eno
Love
fan.
Him. Yeah.
Love Eno.
The best.
But what about new shit?
Oh, new shit?
Are you good with new shit?
Some of it.
Like what?
I listened to the Wet Leg album a couple times.
They're called Wet Leg.
Yeah. I've been listening to some Courtney Barnett lately.
I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
a big thief.
Yeah, I like them. I got like all their records. I like it. It's emotionally jarring for me sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
She's intense.
She's great.
Yeah. But I got those records. I like them.
How about Perfume Genius? Do you like
love
them?
Really?
Yep.
The first two records, fucking
oh my
love
God.
Them.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
that third record's pretty good.
Yeah,
It's got that Blake Mills production. It's kind of a big thing.
Wow. But, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Those first couple Perfume Genius records are great.
Yeah.
And nobody knows about them, I feel like. Do you?
I think there's a Bowie-esque quality.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I feel like no one, like it's a secret or something, Perfume Genius. But he must do all right.
No, he's killing it.
He is.
I mean, he has his audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? With this world, who knows, you know?
I have no idea what's happening anymore. I just don't.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I just don't know. Like, it's
I
like,
don't either.
It's like, I don't know who new comics are. I don't know how people make money. I find out things every day where I'm like, what?
Yeah.
How is that person selling out that?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But it's just, but it's like, it's not even resentment. It's just that they're like, whatever we came up in, you and I, because I've noticed this about like walking into conversations in the kitchen at the Comedy Store and stuff. You're around longer than I thought. You know, you were around, like I left the store, you know, 88, I'm out. But you must have come pretty close
to
that.
No, I came in 95.
Oh, but like you know the old timers.
I know a lot of the old timers.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't nice to me, but I knew them.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, but they were actually, you know, really old by the time you saw them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were just kind of old when I knew them.
Yeah.
But I saw them at the beginning of their decline.
Ah.
Like I saw the beginning of the end of Jeff Altman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was there and they were mean and also.
Yeah.
Not mean, but they were like not inviting, but it's also, they were also in decline. So yeah. I didn't, and also comedy in general was in decline.
It was a mess then.
So I didn't know what the fuck was, what I signed up for really. You know, obviously, you know, in 95 when I started,
yeah,
I worked at the La Jolla Comedy Store and I remember they had this yearbook.
Yeah.
And I picked up the yearbook. I think you're in it. And
I doubt it.
And anyway, there was, you know, and I looked at this Japanese lady and she was just, a lot. There's a lot of photos of her in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who is this? And I'm also like, you know, she came before me.
Yeah.
And so when I became a regular, Mitzi would like, on the because I would work the door in La Jolla on the weekends.
Yeah.
And all the headliners that would come through from LA, she would have me MC some of the shows.
Yeah.
So I MC'd with Tamayo a couple of times.
Yeah.
And she helped me immensely. She, because at that time I was very self-deprecating, especially with being my ethnicity, you know what I mean? Like, you know, talking down about it. Mm. And she came up to me and she goes, Bobby, you don't have to talk down. You have to say the same joke, but spin it so you're, you know, positive about it.
Mm.
And it was like a little tweak in my, you mean, in my act.
Yeah.
And she really helped me out. And then I didn't see her. I moved to LA, never saw her. And then one day I was walking down Sunset and I see this Japanese woman. She looked homeless.
Yeah.
And she came up to me. She goes, Bobby, it's Tamayo, Tamayo. I go, holy fuck. And she goes, I live in Hawaii now. And I go, oh, fuck, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And she goes, look at, I don't know how, she had a digital photo, like a camera.
Uh-huh.
And she goes, look, I live in the jungle. I go, oh. And she goes, and look, I eat cat meat. And I look on this board, like it's like a chopping board.
Yeah.
A makeshift one that she made.
In a picture.
And on the side of, on the side of, I see a severed cat's head. So she lives in the jungle hunting cats. And then I was telling somebody the other day about it. I'm not kidding you.
You're telling me about it.
And then they Googled it, and it was on YouTube.
So she's putting it on YouTube.
There's videos of it on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Or Vimeo or one of those, you know what I mean?
Is she trying to be a very specific type of influencer?
I don't know, but she went, and because, you know, I have three cats. You have three cats, you know. I love cats. Yeah. It was very jarring.
Sure. Well, there's a lot of them out in the wild doing nothing but killing off birds.
Oh, right. So maybe she's...
a balance to
maybe
be
we'll
found.
We'll see her on Planet Earth or something. The Tamayo.
That's so sad, though. Sometimes I wonder about the people when they come around, you know? Like, it's wild.
But what... Because I was telling Frank the other day, he's a younger comic... And he came up to me and he was like, so...
Frank. Which guy's that?
Frank,
Is he a store guy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck is his... Anyway. And came up to me and he goes, you know, I don't ever want to end up like that.
Like Tamayo? Like, what?
No, he goes, just end up like a comic that almost made it and they fizzle out and nothing happens toward the end and they still chase it.
Oh, dude.
I know. And I go...
You can't... Yeah.
What?
How are you going to know? When do you make that decision? What'd you tell him?
Look, I said it was positive. I go, well, in this age of the internet, you know what I mean? Everyone's got a shot at any age.
Yeah,
I think that's true. I think a lot of those guys, like Altman, they could have maybe.
Dude, some of them have AOL accounts. I mean, you know, that's the level you're talking
about. I know.
Like, if you don't. Like, I'm just on the cusp of, like, I'm, like, on the cusp of Gen X.
Yeah.
And I had to adapt. just by nature of the business. I was of an age where it was still possible. But guys 10 years older than me, good fucking luck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They didn't have the access to it.
Well, they did, but they just didn't make the jump or have the incentive.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I get there's a lot of fear. And, you know, man, when the internet first started, we had no idea what it was going to be.
Yeah, but I'm done, dude. I can't do any more platforms. Like, even the fact that we don't do a video podcast, which is fine, but, you know, that's the future. And, you know, TikTok, like, I got a guy doing it, and I think it might help raise awareness of where I'm working.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm looking for. I don't fucking need anything else, but it seems very difficult now to just get people who want to see you to know where you're going to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's when I started the podcast. I was looking at that, dude. When I started the fucking podcast, I was like, I can't do it. I can't be a B-room headliner chasing this thing. I can't do it. I'd rather be dead, and I'm not set up to do anything else.
But so you were, because I remember when, because I used to open for Mencia back in the day, and I remember one of it, I think his second special, it was in a clump, and you were one of the other guys.
Yeah.
It was you, Mencia, and also Janine, I think.
Oh, those were the HBO half hours.
Yeah, in San Francisco.
In 95.
Yeah. So that's when I was opening for Mencia back then, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing you going, oh, that guy's so great, right? Mm. So what I'm saying is that I don't know, and then I remember seeing you in the movie Almost Famous.
Yeah.
And then after that, I didn't see you until you came to the store many years later. So I don't know what had happened to you.
So like 6 years later, 5 or 6 years later, I was just hammering it out. You know, I was never stopped doing stand-up. But the bottom line is, no matter how many Conans, no matter what, I just was not manifesting an audience.
Mm.
I couldn't sell tickets.
Yeah.
And ultimately with club work, and I was never good at being, you know, like being nice on the road to club owners and shit.
Yeah.
I didn't understand how the business worked.
Yeah.
But ultimately, by the time I started the podcast, it was like fucking, there was no way I was selling tickets.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a reality.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that,
you have nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
As a comic.
You have nothing, yeah.
50 Conans.
Yeah.
Couldn't sell half a house doing those fucking Fallout improv weeks.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. But now you have this, and it's
selling tickets. I'm not complaining.
Right.
I will never do an improv, though.
Why?
Because they never fucking gave me real weeks. But I guess I couldn't sell tickets. Those fucking Tuesday nights.
You could do it now.
I don't want to do them. I don't want to make them any money.
Are you being real?
Yeah, totally.
You still have those grudges?
Couple.
I do, too. I do, too. Like, I'll never play La Jolla because of one grudge.
Really?
Yeah. And so I'll just, those grudges. But that's not healthy.
There's only one or two, and I don't feel bad about it. It's just like, you know, after, you know, these people, because I've been doing it longer than you, right?
Yeah.
And I've been in this business since I was, 22, and now I'm 60. So like 38 years or so.
Wow.
Since 1988, working professionally. First TV sets, Evening at the Improv, Caroline's Comedy Hour, 1989 and 1992.
Wow.
Okay? So I've seen all of these people that are still in this game on either side of the fucking aisle, meaning either in front of the camera or behind it, for that long.
Wow.
So I saw all these agents, these publicists, these managers, I saw them all come up, right? Comedy clubs. And I can tell you one thing for fucking sure, the improv did nothing for me. Nothing. You know, they'd go like, we love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And they'd throw me a couple bones. And I'd go down there, I'd go down to fucking Irvine, wouldn't sell shit. And I had to deal with that goddamn staff. Like, God, this sucks. I'm like, tell me about it. So like, ultimately... Or they give you those Tuesday nights with the free tickets.
Yeah.
Fuck it. So I just have a resentment in terms of like, they weren't fully supportive, but you know, as I'm talking about with you now, another sober person, maybe I should own my side of it. Maybe
because
I
this
couldn't.
Is before podcasting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So, all right. So,
I mean,
my side of it is I couldn't sell tickets.
Yeah. I mean, after Mad TV, right?
Yeah.
I could not sell tickets.
Yeah.
Right? I remember doing a show at Caroline's the last time I played it.
Yeah.
And I sold 12 tickets, second show on a Saturday.
No.
Right? And they still made me do it. And it was so embarrassing. And I remember Paul Mooney and Chris Rock being there. Like, in the back, I could see them in the room going, hurry up.
Because they had
the next show. Yeah. Right? And I just remember going, oh, I'm out of the business.
Yeah.
I'm out of this. So I've had those moments.
I had years of that.
I know, but my point is that But it shifted.
Yeah, so why not be magnanimous?
It changed, right? Yeah. So just be that guy because that's who you are.
Yeah.
Because inevitably, you were always going to be here.
Right. No, that's true. And maybe I should shut up.
Shut the fuck up, man.
You know, because I used to be mad at, like, the guy who used to book Catch in New York. But he eventually gave me Carnegie Hall.
Yeah.
And, like, I should just let it all go.
Let it go.
Yeah, man.
But you won't.
No, I will. I don't really love that Melrose room, to be honest with you.
That's a tough room.
Yeah, and it was tough before they fixed it.
Yeah.
Whatever they did to it.
It's a
the
tough
original
room.
Improv was hard. Ceilings are very high.
Mm.
It's weird. And the audience sits in this little bucket. And then you got the people out and back.
Yeah.
So I don't love it.
Yeah, I have a problem with Cobbs.
It's the worst. The new Cobbs?
I hate it.
The old Cobbs were the second Cobbs. When I was in San Francisco, that was the second Cobbs down in the cannery. Was the best room in the world.
Wow.
And then there apparently was one before that was good.
Yeah.
But then when, you know, Tom moved it into that fucking old theater there.
Yeah.
And then Live Nation took over. That is the worst fucking room in the world. If it's not packed.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I've had disasters in that room.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's why I mean, if I haven't played San Francisco in a long time, but if I were going to play, I'd play the Punchline.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I don't care. My agents go, well, you can make so much money at clubs. I don't give a fuck. I don't want to struggle.
Well, but you just add, you can just add more shows. You know, that whole you can make so much more money thing.
Yeah.
Like I did, like I didn't plan it, but I'm trying to work out the new set, and I did Portland Helium. You know, and I can do theaters in Portland, but I just wanted to work out. And I ended up doing 6 shows.
Wow, I love that room.
Yeah. And you make good cash. You'll make as much as a night at the theater.
I know.
But it's a lot more work. And I was pretty tired. 6 shows, hour plus.
I mean, so I opened for Segura a week ago in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And I, God bless him.
Yeah.
You know, do you like Tom?
Yeah, I love him.
I love him, Tom.
Yeah.
6,000 seats.
Yeah.
And I went up there. I had a great set.
Yeah.
Is it fun? No.
Not for a stadium. No, it's not fun.
It's not fun. It's you can't see, number one, you can't see anybody.
And you got to pace yourself all different.
Right, right.
And you're kind of floating up there like you're in space.
Right. And I'm so grateful, dude.
Sure.
Mark, I'm so grateful. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
I'm just saying, just technically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm doing a whole bit about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
About how I'm not an arena act. I have friends who are arena acts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I tell a story about doing an arena, and I go at the end of it, I go like, you know what? I don't love it.
Yeah.
So everything worked out for me.
Yeah. And when I watch my friends, my friends are, I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I really can't.
Yeah. What, doing arenas?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's, because I remember, Sebastian has it on tape. I was there the first time he ever went up.
You were?
Yeah.
He waited on me at the hotel he used to work at. Like, I remember, like, because I remember seeing him at the store.
Yeah.
Like once or twice.
Yeah.
And I had a meeting. I don't remember if it wasn't the Four Seasons. It was another one down in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where he was a waiter.
Yeah.
And he came out and it was that weird moment where I'm like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to be, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember before he hit.
And I remember he was terrible.
Yeah.
And I remember then like years later, I remember him coming to I used to have that apartment on Beachwood and he used to come over and work on auditions and he'd have 2 lines.
Yeah.
And he would not get it.
Yeah,
and he just never gave up. But just I was in Vegas with Andrew a month ago, and I was at the Wynn
With Santino.
Yeah, with Santino, and I see one wall. It's like one of those, televised. What do you call it?
LED walls.
LED walls.
Yeah,
it's just his face.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
and I'm walking. It's like I'm half a mile this walk.
Yeah,
and it's his whole like his face just keeps appearing.
Yeah,
right. And it's in my mind. It's like I just can't believe it.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm pretty.
But it's mind-boggling.
I'm happy for most people, to be honest with you.
You are.
Yeah.
But there's some you're not.
Yeah. There's some I'm not because. Well, the arena thing is not to take anything away from anybody, but personally, I don't know who the fuck would go see a comedy show in an arena.
Yeah.
Like, I do a whole bit on stage right now about how I'm not a casino act, and it's not that I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's just like you know. I'm just not that guy.
Yeah.
Like I think even if my fans were in Vegas for some reason, it wouldn't be because they just went to Vegas for fun. They were like, oh, Annie's thing is in Vegas. We got to go or whatever.
Yeah.
But even if you were my fan and you saw that wall,
yeah.
Like Sebastian, it was my face. If you're my biggest fan, you'd be like, I don't know. It seems a little heavy for Vegas, right? Like, you know, isn't he coming by our house? We should just wait, you know? Because I'm just starting to have a good time.
Yeah.
That's just my nature. But
well, you couldn't see Lenny Bruce in a stadium.
No, of course not. All that shit's, so it's a whole different market. It's like there's a big cash grab going on right now, and fine.
It's fine, yeah.
But the only thing that does bother me is that, you know, whatever system we came up in, you want it to still matter, but I don't know if it still does. Like, I think there is plenty of people that are not good comics, but they've built an audience somehow, and they can sell a lot of tickets. So the integrity of what they do is not great, but, you know, the ticket sales are what they are.
Yeah.
I don't hate those people, but it's just sad to see a system fall apart.
Yeah. The other day I walked by Dana Gould.
Oh, yeah.
You like him? Just,
sure.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, he's the best.
I don't know him.
Oh, why not?
Like, I've never really talked to him. Every time I see him, I get so nervous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a genius.
And the other day he said, hello, Mr. Lee or something, shook my hand.
Yeah.
I was like, holy fuck. You know what I mean? Like, I get, but I watch him. I don't know if he's a stadium act or what he does.
No. He's like, he's like a genius. He's like a prodigy.
But when I watch him, I go, dude, I saw, when I was not in high school, but in my early 20s, I had Showtime.
Yeah.
And I saw one of his early specials. Yeah. And I saw a kid, sweating, right, and talking about pain on stage as a stand-up.
Yeah.
And so when I see him now, in my mind, I'm like, why isn't this guy a stadium act?
We've been saying that for decades.
Like, Dana?
Sure, because I came up around the same time as him.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him on stage when he was probably 20.
Yeah.
Before he moved to San Francisco.
Wow.
And he was always sort of like that guy. And, like, I used to ask myself that all the time. How is this guy not the biggest comedian in the country?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I don't know about stadiums, but because we came up at the same time, even, like, the biggest club act.
Yeah.
Why isn't this guy the most important comic ever?
You believe that?
Yes, I do.
I believe that, too.
Yeah.
I look at him, and I watch clips of him, I go, oh, my God.
But now we're kind of older guys, and, like, I can see the machine working. The same with Maria Bamford. But the truth of the matter is, it's like, you know— they're not for everybody. And this is the other problem I have with the tribalizing of comedy, where you get a bunch of meatheads that are like, fuck you, that's not comedy. He's selling out stadiums. You're not funny.
All right.
So there's this judging of comics in a sports-like
fashion. Are they doing
fashion.
That?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
If you rail any criticism of YouTube comics, Matt Rife or anybody.
Yeah.
The legions of meatheads who call themselves comedy fans based on the competitive nature of what's been established by the Austin School.
Yeah.
That you, what happens is, you know, you get this sports-like attitude.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you can't sell that many tickets. You're not as funny. This deciding tone of what is and isn't funny is such bullshit because the best comics, the most interesting people, almost no one knows.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's just the way it is. As a comic, I can see it. I know it.
Yeah. You're right. I think you're right. But I don't know why.
Because they're challenging.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that are hugely successful, they're not that provocative. And when they are provocative, they can't shut up about it. And it's not even real. Like, I don't want to get canceled.
Yeah.
You won't.
Yeah.
You fucking hack.
Yeah. I remember seeing, I don't want to say his name, but I saw a guy, a friend of mine, and he, you know, after a set, he's in a stadium, and he tells everyone to pull out a lighter or a fucking, you know what I mean,
camera frame, right?
And he's just like, not like, he's kind of like on stage, like almost like
for
Jesus,
the picture? Yeah.
Like a photo?
Yeah.
Right, and everyone's standing, you know what I mean, almost worshiping him, right?
Behind him.
Yeah, behind him. And I vomited on my phone. I literally had a reaction to it.
Wow.
Like, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Well, this is marketing. So it's like if the brand and the marketing and the sort of, you know, the job of self-promotion is the art.
Yeah.
Then I guess that's where we're at.
Yeah.
Wow, that guy's amazing at promoting himself.
Yeah.
Look at all the people he's brought
in. Can I make an argument, though? Because me and Andrew went on the road.
And also, like, they laugh.
Yeah, right? Me and Andrew went on the road together promoting Bad Friends.
And I like Andrew.
Right?
Yeah.
And we did 5,000 seat
things.
I mean, is that But where else? Should we just play clubs? I mean, what's the other?
No, no. We're just talking about what we enjoy and what's comfortable or where things happen. And whether or not you and I love doing, you know, smaller rooms because we're insecure or because it's actually better, I don't know.
I love it.
Me too.
Do you know why? I love looking at their faces.
Yeah.
And I like, I just like being, not touch them, but being that, because you, it's an energy exchange.
Definitely. Yeah. But like 5,000 for you and Andrew, I mean, you guys earn that and you both have fans and you have this relationship with your fans and they're excited to see you. And it's like, neither one of you guys cut any corners.
Right. We didn't.
No.
No, well, you're right. We didn't.
Yeah, so it's not like,
I'm
you know,
52. Like, I've been in it since.
Dude, you guys paid your dues.
Yeah, all right.
But also, but it's a whole different thing, and it's so exciting that people want to come hang out just to watch, you know, you guys talk.
Yeah. You're right. And I just like, I like meeting them.
Yeah.
We do a meet and greet. It's fun.
You do? You charge for it? The meet and greet?
Why?
Do you like
it? Why do you ask?
I'm curious about.
Yeah, not a lot.
But it's a VIP ticket, right? I'm not judging.
Like 100?
Okay, I'm not judging. I'm just
asking.
You
can't meet everybody for free? What the fuck are you talking about?
I didn't even say this. See, this is where you and I get in a problem. Like, you decided.
You're right. That was me, dude.
Oh, you.
That was totally me. Yeah, I'm sorry, my bad. That was me. You and I get into these pockets.
Well, yeah, where you just assume that I say one word and you're like, you can't just tell me that my family.
I know, because 12 years ago, you weren't like this.
I didn't, but you, I thought you probably assumed a lot of things about me.
You're right. I think I'd been doing that. Yeah, I did the same thing. You're right. You're right. Yeah.
So I watched the movie.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about that.
Esther's movie.
We have to talk about that.
We don't have to, but we
will. I have to.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here. But can I got to pull out this thing that they sent me. Talking points.
No, you
Drugstore June will open exclusively in select theaters February 23rd, 2023.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Like, you know, Bill and Al over there, it's like they're running a studio system for comics.
Yeah.
Like everyone in the movie is a comic. I think it's kind of great.
Yeah.
You know, like Bill's in it for a minute. Al's in it for a minute. Matt Walsh. I saw Matt Walsh. Steph Tolev's in it.
Yeah.
You're in it. Obviously, Esther's the lead.
Trevor Wallace has a little thing in there.
Which one's he?
You know Trevor Wallace?
Do I?
Well, he's a comic, very young guy.
Is he what? He works at the counter at the
Dumbfounders in it. Nick Rutherford. Just people that.
Some guys I don't know.
Yeah, people. But a lot of people. Haley Joel Osment's in it.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
The funny thing is about Esther and even her show with Benji. What was that one called? Do you remember her name of her TV show?
I don't remember. I did it. I forget.
But there's a tone that I guess it's sort of a millennial tone.
Mm.
That she does that is kind of like it's like over the top in a kind of an affect.
Yeah.
And it kind of really works in the movie, though.
Did you really like it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't know if I would.
Oh, right.
And the reason I liked it is because she's doing a thing.
Yeah.
She's not a bad actress. This is a character she's doing.
Mm.
And it's stilted. But it's like it's sort of detached from reality. And I think what that says about her generation is true.
Yeah.
So it's almost a take on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, because of that, I did like it.
Yeah, it was a challenging part for me, my part, because there was nothing funny in it.
But you were sweet.
Yeah, I was sweet and straight.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Yeah?
Yeah, because usually it's like, sometimes when I'm on, in movies and stuff, I can go here, I can do a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
but this one was challenging, and the reason why I liked it is because I had to, you know, and, you know, I had to take, they would say, tone it down,
and
be real and listen. And so it was interesting, but I really like my part in it.
No, I thought that was great.
Yeah.
You were like the voice of sanity.
Yeah, sanity in it.
Yeah. And you definitely showed up with the emotions, and it was good because there wasn't a lot of that in the movie. I mean, you were the guy.
Yeah. But here's what I like about it, too, is I think that this could be a template of how we do smaller movies from now on.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you look at the cast.
She wrote it, right?
Yeah, but it's like Nick
Goosen
and Bertolina and Jordy and all these people that are involved in it.
Yeah.
We've all known each other for years. We're all friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not about money, really.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's about, you know, making something with a bunch of, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Making something with your friends.
Yeah, it felt like all things comedy is now like this weird, interesting studio system for comedians.
Yeah.
Like the same with Bill's movie. They did Bill's movie and they're doing specials and everything.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I love them. And it's also, I had some hard times last year. I don't want to talk about it, but I left them. Tiger Bear left All Things Comedy.
Yeah.
And then they brought me back. And I really appreciate them. I love them.
The one you do with Andrew or the other one?
Tiger Belly, yeah, my other one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're back with him?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm back with him.
Yeah.
And I should have never left.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it all worked out.
It all worked out. But I love all those guys. And I think people should watch it because it's like, I don't know. I think it's
It's a cute movie. Okay. It's funny. She's funny. You're good.
Thank you. It's
odd, but it's tight. You know, it's not like nothing's undecided.
Yeah.
Everything's intentional.
Uh-huh.
And it's heightened to make it funny.
Mm.
Like, so I thought it was fun to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And I know all you guys.
Yeah.
I'm not being diplomatic.
I know.
I'm not humoring.
There's one thing that happened that they said not to talk about.
What?
And I can't talk about it, but I want to. It's weird.
Okay.
Well, I don't think they'll care.
Yeah.
Just real quick, okay? Because I know we're at the end, right?
Yeah.
All right. So the first day was devastating for me because I memorized.
Yeah.
I memorized a completely different scene.
Yeah.
And then when I showed up, it was an even crazier scene of a lot of dialogue.
They switched the schedule?
Yeah. Oh, no, I fucked up.
Oh, okay.
And I showed up.
Yeah.
And it was chaos.
Oh, really?
Me and Nick screaming at each other and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's a director?
Yeah, Nick Goosen. Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. It was like, you know, like the tone, like when Christian Bale went crazy.
Oh, yeah.
It was that kind of tone.
But it was the first day.
It was the first day.
You were having your own issues.
Yeah, but then the weekend we talked.
Yeah.
And then it went well for the rest of the thing.
Yeah, but
I don't know why I just said that. I don't know.
No, because like it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you get it all in your head. It's the first day of shooting. You want to show up for it. But don't you realize, though, after a certain point with shooting TV and movies that, you know, if you show up and things are changed, that you just got to be like, all right, just give me a half hour.
And let me
focus on this.
It's so funny. It's like I thought that I didn't have a voice as an actor.
Yeah.
But now it's like, no, I'm not doing that right now. Just give me a second.
Yeah.
You're right?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, before, like for 20 years, I never used to even talk to the director or the producer or other actors.
Right. Yeah.
But now it's like when I'm on a set, I go right up to them and go, all right, let's
what
go
through
lines. What do you want? How about this?
Who's going to run these
with
me?
Yeah. Anyway, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I wish I could come back not 11 years from now. But,
okay, yeah, anytime you want.
You know?
Yeah, this is fun.
It was a fun
Me back on yours.
I love it.
Maybe I can show you how to do some other thing that you should know.
Yeah,
how to
I have so many things. How do you think today went?
Great.
Okay, good.
That was me and Bobby. That's how me and Bobby do it. The movie he's in, Drugstore June with Esther Pavitsky, comes out February 23rd. You can also check out his podcasts, Tiger Belly and Bad Friends. Hang out a minute, people. Hey, folks. The latest edition of Producer's Cuts is available for Full Marin subscribers. You can hear some of the things that got cut out of recent WTF episodes and find out why they got cut.
What wound up happening here was something Mark recorded literally the day after a really upsetting thing happened to him with an argument he got in with a friend, or as you'll hear from this description, a former friend. I feel like Mark's emotions around it were still very raw. He was still dealing with it from the day before. And I kind of felt like it was just the type of thing he needed to let out of his system. And he did it on the mic and didn't exactly intend for everyone to hear it. So I brought that up to him. I said, I don't think that this section where you talked about your friend and the falling out you had is worth going into the episode. And he agreed. In fact, as you'll hear, the very last thing he says kind of leads you to the impression that he kind of just had to get this off his chest. So here you go. You can hear Mark talking about something that was kind of intense and upsetting, and it had just happened, but now it's okay for you Full Marin subscribers to hear it and kind of know what Mark was going through at that time.
Full Marin subscribers get new producer cuts every month. Sign up by going to the link in the episode description or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. This is pretty lazy guitar, but it's nice. Boomer lives. Muggy and LaFonda. Cat angels everywhere.